amazing radio station, family-oriented, God-oriented, Bible-loving, amazing. Anyway, I have a lot more I'd like to say, but it's 5 o'clock, and Abraham Hamilton III is coming on, and I just love that AFR put Abraham Hamilton III on my dial at 5 o'clock when I'm driving home. God bless you, AFR.
It's day two of Share-a-thon, and it's Founders Day on American Family Radio. We're honoring Brother Don Wildman and his wife, Linda, for their faithful obedience to the Lord in their example to us.
God doesn't require us to be successful. God requires us to be faithful.
Call now at 877-616-2396 to give, or pledge online at AFR.net. It's Founders Day on American Family Radio.
Did anybody hear that? Or was I a tree in the woods, Brent?
That fell.
Huh?
I think you can just say it again to be safe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. I think I said that and nobody heard me.
Nobody did.
My microphone wasn't on, huh? Is that right?
Well, that's because the music hadn't finished yet.
Yeah. All right, so Share-a-thon rolls on. Day two, Wednesday, April the 12th, 2023. It's our second day of 3 days of American Family Radio's Share-a-thon. This is the 3 days in the spring. We do this 3 days again in the fall where we tell you what our financial needs are. And we pass the virtual offering plate and ask you to please give and be as generous as you can, because we are, unlike National Public Radio, which gets our tax dollars.
State-funded.
State-funded, which Elon Musk the other day on Twitter, he flagged NPR
government-affiliated media.
That's yep. Abraham. Hey, good morning, Abraham.
Good morning. I'm just a voice in your ear.
That's
undistinct, unannounced.
Well, if I start hearing voices.
You can join Joe Biden.
Yeah. Abe Hamilton. All right, Brother Steve.
Hey, good morning.
Steve Jordahl. What was I saying?
You're talking about Elon Musk. And
yeah, Elon Musk. For those who, I know a lot of people aren't on Twitter, but I get Twitter. You get Twitter, right?
I do.
But this was in the
you
news.
You don't get Twitter. You're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter.
No, but I get it.
I tweet the tweets.
I get
the tweets, it. The tweets.
I don't tweet. I just get, I follow some people like Jenna.
Yeah.
Jenna Ellis. And one of the people, I just follow a couple of people because that's all you can do, or you just waste away your life. Okay. But Elon Musk is a character I am interested in. Just because of his views and the things that he's doing to sort of shake up the social media world. So National Public Radio, that's what I was talking about, he flagged them. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
He flagged them as government-sponsored content.
Yeah.
And they are so mad at him for doing that.
It's accurate.
I know.
What are they mad at?
I know.
$500 million worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, of taxpayer money. They are government-sponsored.
Stop taking tax money, and then you can no longer be government-sponsored media.
Right. I know. That was so funny when he did that, and they got so mad. He did that also to the British BBC, right? Did he do that?
He did.
Anyway, Elon Musk, I know he's not a believer, but
he God, sure is fun.
God bless his efforts, because he's trying to at least bring some kind of objectivity and fairness back to the to Twitter and to the social media world. All right, Steve Jordahl.
Before we get started here, I just have to say I'm having some problems at home. I tried to feed my children last night leftover tacos, and they will not eat leftover tacos. So my wife just said throw them out. Now I don't know what to do with the tacos.
You throw the kids out, okay?
That's a long way to go. How long have you been holding on to that one?
Almost a day.
Was that JJ approved?
Yes, I know. He met JJ in the hall. And that reminds me of the joke, and I probably can't tell it, so I probably shouldn't try, but it's the guy who said...
But here we go.
Yes, that's right. You probably shouldn't tweet this, but go ahead.
Well, he said, I have tickets... to the Masters, I know what he said. He said, "I'm my wedding is so and so, and I have tickets to the Masters. Does anybody want them?" And he said something to the effect, "Well, I'm going to, they said, yeah, I'll take them. And he said, no, you can go to the wedding. Bada boom. I got that joke. I tortured that joke, and I think Abe got it before Abe got it out of my mouth.
I'm just going to tell you.
Was that a bad joke?
No. I'm just going to confess that I laughed politely because you're my boss.
Yeah. It's a funny joke. Yeah.
I laughed because of
the structure. In other words, the point of the joke, Ed. You got to tell people the point of the joke. Probably didn't told it in the first place.
Hey, why don't I give the number before we get started with the news?
And the phone number?
Yes, the phone number.
And what we're doing here?
Yes, it is our spring Share-a-thon, folks. Living water is our theme. The Share-a-thon verse for this spring Share-a-thon is from John chapter 7, verse 38. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." It is our spring Share-a-thon. We come for 3 days in the spring, 3 days in the fall, and we ask you, our listeners, to help support this ministry. And the number to call, if you would like to pledge to our spring Share-a-thon, is 877-616-2396.
I'm just trying to help people remember it.
Yeah, 877-616-2396. Or you can give online at AFR.net. And if you just give me just a second, Tim, unless you got another joke.
No, but I got my joke. Go ahead.
All right.
I got my joke right now.
Folks, we do, under certain criteria, send you something when you give. And here it is. For a one-time gift of $150 or more, you will receive a DVD of The Battle in Loudoun County, the newest episode in AFA's Impact Series project, where we highlight the efforts of courageous men and women who are fighting to help try to restore moral sanity in our nation. And this is a DVD about the Loudoun County Public Schools. A lot of you, if you've been listening to AFR, have heard what has been going on for the last several years, really, in Virginia. There is Loudoun County Public Schools are a source of great contention for many Virginia parents and lawmakers. This DVD follows Patty Menders, who's a mom that discovered racially divisive material within the school system and decided that something had to be done. Then Shivan Fleet, a mom who emigrated from communist China, if you can believe it, and knows all too well about the harsh realities of toxic ideologies, like the ideologies she saw in Loudoun County. She joined the fight, and even though their courageous stand has resulted in a lot of insults and pushback, these two moms, along with many other parents, continue to fight for their children's education and well-being. It's less than a 30-minute video. It is powerful. You get that for a one-time gift of $150 or more.
What about the duffel bag?
Or this is what Tim really loves. If you become a Great Commission partner with a monthly gift of $30 or more.
Partner.
Great Commission partner is somebody who gives on an ongoing regular basis $30 or more a month to American Family Association and American Family Radio. If you become a Great Commission partner with a monthly gift of $30 or more, you not only receive The Battle in Loudoun County DVD, you also receive an AFR branded duffel bag, which if you're watching online, Tim is holding up for you to see. A lovely blue, black, little bit of gray in it, and it is AFR branded.
You can put a lot of duffel in here.
Oh yeah. It is especially good at holding duffel.
Yeah. Hey, so we've never had a duffel bag, as far as I know. This was your idea, wasn't it?
Well, Angie May and I here at AFR came up with this idea.
Yeah, great idea.
Duffel bag.
Yeah, I love it. Yep. All right, so my joke.
When's the fanny pack coming?
Listen, no joke.
That'd be a great
my fan. Wife and daughter mock me incessantly because I still have a fanny pack. And when I'm working out in the yard and working the flower beds, I'll listen to music, have my fanny pack with my phone in it and stuff like that. They mock me. But yeah. Let me tell you something.
It is borderline girlish.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about, not all together. I do it when I travel, you know, like to Israel or somewhere.
There's a great deal of utility in a fanny pack.
Brent, are we allowed to say the word fanny on the radio?
Mm-hmm. As long as you say pack.
Pack, okay.
Yeah, pack.
Not the way you said it. The way you said it is
So the guy says, I've got Masters tournament tickets, but I'm getting married. I've got a wedding. And he says, does someone want to go for me?
That's the part you left out.
I know. And the guy says, so his friend says, yeah, I'll take those tickets. And he said, no, I meant the wedding. But now, that's funnier,
now,
right?
That is funny.
Okay,
funny.
You laughed.
I laughed in advance. Yeah. I knew it was funny all along.
Right. All right, American Family Radio. I wanted, Abe, if we can switch to a little more serious note here.
I can't.
You shared in devotion this morning with our staff a very important lesson from the scripture.
Very powerful message.
That's really a big part of what we're about here at AFA and AFR. Talk about that.
Yeah. What I mentioned, and the Lord just impressed it from my heart to encourage our staff with this, and now I'm getting to share it with our AFR audience. We're living in a time where it's obvious that the tide has turned against Christians in our country. You know, hostilities are being demonstrated. You have the recent tragedy where the homicidal transgender person enters a Christian school because it's a Christian school. You know, there's evidence the police chief there indicated that the school was targeted largely because the school is connected to a church that supports a biblical worldview, that as a result of being a church anchored in a biblical worldview, they oppose efforts to mutilate children and to offer them life-changing drugs that could really change it forever, that you really don't have any idea as to what it is. I had a listener send me a message not too long ago, that she had to take Lupron for a medical issue, but that it removes bone density that creates osteoporosis in adults. Yet we want to offer that to children in the name of transgender insanity. And so I just want to encourage our staff that one of the things that God does for us is that he gives us courage to fight the battles that he places us in. And I turn to the scripture in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23, that showed that the Apostle Paul, after having traveled from Pisidian Antioch to Iconium to Lystra, and there were Jews that followed him from Pisidian Antioch all the way over to Lystra. That's over 100 miles on foot. And for the express
purpose. In sandals. They're not wearing on clouds.
No, they weren't running the cloud. They didn't have,
Right.
And they ultimately roused the crowd to stone Paul in Lystra. And they thought they killed him, dragged him outside of the city, thinking he was dead. But then he pops up. Now, unlike me or maybe other people, you try to kill me. I'm not interested in going back to where you are, you know. But the Bible says Paul returns right back to the city of Lystra. Then he goes on to Derbe and goes to other areas, continuing to preach the gospel, continuing making disciples. But then he comes back to Lystra again, strengthening disciples. And the Bible says that he stays in Lystra until recent converts are discipled sufficiently to be established as elders in every church in the city, which gives an indication that Paul wasn't there just for 2 days and left again. He was there for a long time, even though it was the very place where the people tried to kill him before. And my simple encouragement was, the only way you can do that is that you're empowered by the Spirit of God, but to have the courage to continue fighting the good fight of faith. And so I thought that would be encouraging to our staff, and I pray it's also encouraging to our listeners now that we don't have to quake in fear in light of what we're facing. God knows where we are, and he knows where he's planted us, but we're nevertheless required to be faithful in this day, in this age. And so take heart, believer, that the Lord God is with us and will empower us to contend for his glory, especially as we maintain an eternal view of our time now, that we're not living only for this moment, but we have eternity already secured on our behalf. So why not give him all we have while he's giving us breath?
I always thought it was interesting in Acts chapter 4, after the church finds out what has happened to Peter and John.
Yeah.
They are threatened by the religious leaders. Stop preaching this Jesus. Bad things are going to happen. They were, the church, their reaction was not to pray to God and ask for God to kill the persecutors or to even to stop the persecution.
Yeah.
Their prayer was, make us bold.
That's right.
And it says that God answered that prayer. They went about boldly proclaiming. So, Abe, how do you think Christians are struggling with this very thing, boldness, courage, in this time when you can lose your job or you can lose family members, have your family divided, or be called ugly names or be beaten like Riley Gaines?
Yeah.
Okay. And how do you – do you just simply ask God for boldness? What are those two questions?
Yeah, and so I want to your first part of your question, yes, I do believe there are Christians that are struggling. You know, I've had some people call into my program saying the very same thing. They're afraid for themselves. They're afraid for their children. They're afraid for their futures. They have all kinds of financial instability, afraid for a number of reasons. But I would encourage them with the words of Jesus, take heart, for he has overcome the world. And because something is simple is not synonymous with it being easy, you know. So when you say, do they simply cry out to the Lord for boldness? Well, the answer to that is yes. But the simplicity of the cry is not synonymous with the ease of the receipt to the answer to the cry. As we cry out to the Lord for boldness, he does answer. And so then we are required to employ that boldness to do what God has called us to. One of the things that I highlight in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus and resurrected form after spending 40 days giving many infallible proofs that he is, in fact, the resurrected Christ, he says, tarry in Jerusalem, for you receive the promise of the Father, and you will be endued with power from being indwelled by the Spirit of God to be my witnesses. So the mechanism for us being able to stand and to contend is not our own humanistic self-will. It is literally God empowering us by his Spirit to be and to do what he's called us to in this time. So it is a consistent reorienting our perception and resubmitting ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God to obey him in every aspect that he calls us to obey him.
I got a question. So we kind of tread this path in this culture and try to avoid the confrontation when it comes. But when it comes, we want to be bold and powerful. Should we be seeking some of that? Because we're supposed to be proactive in going out, and I think not that we seek persecution, but in a way, shouldn't we be going looking for trouble as God's? I mean, does that make sense?
Well, I wouldn't say we should go looking for trouble, but we should seek to be obedient at all times.
You first, Steve.
Well, this is what I'm saying, though. I mean, if God is powerful through our testimony, he protects us.
It's going to happen naturally.
It will. Yeah. What strikes me about what you were talking about this morning is that we kind of know that how it came out because we get to read the next chapter. Paul, for all he knew, he was going to get killed the next day, which makes it even more remarkable.
Yeah.
But and he went back knowing that. He wasn't trying to avoid anything.
Exactly.
And so
because the thing that
we want to avoid it all the time. Well, if I have to, then I guess I'll say it. But
And it is true. There are some believers who endeavor to live a persecution-free life, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 tells us all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will face persecution. It'll be varying intensities, varying
that's
types.
That's all through the Bible.
That's all throughout the scripture. So the thing is not that we're looking for trouble, but we're looking for obedience. And as the world continues to darken, that obedience will be combated with trouble that comes, but we don't have to fear the trouble because, as Jesus said, he has overcome the world. The Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear or of trepidation. But the thing that is our animating feature is the love of Christ that even moves people like Stephen in the moment of facing heightened overt persecution. He's praying for the people that are stoning him.
You're listening to Sherathon. Thank you for those words of encouragement, Abe. And let's hear from one of our listeners. We'll be back in just a moment.
Yes, my name is David. I live in Borger, Texas. My mother passed away last year, and before she passed, she said, "Don't you listen to AFR?" Well, I'm a delivery driver, and so now I listen to AFR from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. My mom was an avid listener, and whenever we would leave the house, she would have a radio on. "Mom, don't you want to turn off the radio?" "Oh, no. That's air purifier." So she loved AFR, and it has been a great deal to her as well as to me. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Wow. Bless that brother. I know he misses his mom. She was a AFR fan and told him about us, and now he's listening to us today.
Right.
Appreciate you listening, folks, to American Family Radio and everybody who gave yesterday or today to our Share-a-thon, or perhaps you gave in the mail or a phone call prior to Share-a-thon, whatever the case may be. If you've already made a donation to American Family Radio to support our ministry during our fundraiser, which is called Share-a-thon, which is 3 days in the spring, 3 days in the fall, then we appreciate you and we thank you. And we have great gratitude for all those who are standing with us financially, because we have to have those resources to be able to, you know, to continue to stay on the air, quite frankly. It costs a lot of money to own and operate 181 radio stations across America. And if you want to give, yeah, please call and be as generous as you possibly can. I'll give you the phone number, and that rings our office here at American Family Radio, and someone will answer the phone, probably a staff member, and they'll take your gift, your donation, however you want to give it. The phone number is 87, hopefully in English, but anyway, 877-616-2396 is our phone number. 877-616-2396. Do we have, we probably got a couple of people that speak Spanish, but that's about it over there, I would guess. Do you know? Maybe a German?
I don't.
Do you know anything about that? Have we done any surveys on that?
No.
Okay. We've all right.
I mean, right. Surveying our own people?
Yeah, to find out how many languages they speak. Hey, by the way, I was mentioning National Public Radio and the fact that Elon Musk, at the new CEO of Twitter, and one of the most, if not the wealthiest man in the world, well, the other day, he flagged National Public Radio because they get all this taxpayer money. He flagged them as, quote, state-affiliated media. Well, now they've quit Twitter. They decided to quit Twitter because they got so upset and angered over Elon Musk simply saying what is factual,
yeah,
what is true. I think NPR has said, quote, we identify as not state-affiliated media, therefore we don't like this, end of quote. And, of course, I just made that up completely.
Okay, I am going to okay, so I do play the role here as on today's issues,
uh-huh,
as the lone liberal voice.
Yeah.
I don't consider it liberal.
Here we go.
Okay. So
I call you a liberal.
Yes.
because you I do ask you to play the part of the liberal.
Yeah.
Oftentimes.
Well, I'm gonna do that now for on behalf of NPR.
Wow. Okay. That's just totally unnecessary, but go ahead.
Okay.
You want to take the wrath of our listeners?
No, no, right, folks, ahead. Listen, just hear me out. Uh-huh. Okay, hear me out. I do like what Elon Musk did. I think it obviously is true that they are affiliated with the government because they get
state
money.
State-affiliated media, that's yes, all he said they were.
I think, uh-huh, I think though, that it would be more accurate to say, mm-hmm, they are affiliated with leftist government. Because when Trump was president, they weren't affiliated with that administration. They were antagonistic. You see where I'm coming,
yeah,
from?
Yeah. You know, I judged your statement too early, so I withdraw my criticism. I say, yeah, if you want to say they're communist-affiliated media.
Yes, communist state-affiliated.
A Marxist voice, you know, for... I agree with you on that one.
So really, I'm not being liberal. I'm actually to the right of you.
You were being to the right of, yeah, me. Yeah. Right. Anyway, this is just so funny. They're so upset at National Public Radio. Because they get taxpayer money, but Elon Musk says, basically, you get taxpayer money, therefore you're a government-affiliated media anyway. All right, you know what, folks? We don't get any taxpayer money for American Family Radio, and nor would we ever take any, even if it were offered.
Right.
Because with government money comes government strings to be attached. And quite frankly, we're fighting for something that's the opposite, Abe. Yeah. We're fighting in this country for freedom,
yeah,
and liberty, and to get away from the control of we have to have government, okay? We have to have government because we have to have law and order. Everybody understands that. We're not anarchists here, but we're saying that limited government, that's what our founders wanted, right? Yeah. Right?
That's right. Because so, of man's wickedness. Right. If men were angels, we wouldn't need government. But men are not angels, contrary to NPR and other utopian designs.
You know what? And that's another reason why the the founders of our country and our forefathers talk so much about separation of powers.
Yes.
Because of what Abe just said, they understood the sin nature of man, right? And the way you keep a king from, or a tyrant from taking over everything, look at Venezuela,
right?
What happened there the last 10 years, is, and other places, is centralizing power. That's what you do. You centralize power. And that's part of the big political war that's going on in our country, our battles in the greater war, and that is, the secular progressives are trying to centralize power in Washington, D.C. Yeah. And people who are constitutional conservatives or constitutionalists, whatever you want to call them, not whatever you want to call them. That's what you would call people who believe in the Constitution as it was written and how it was designed, believe in separation of power, not centralization of power, right?
That's right, because you have a system of checks and balances. You don't have an accumulation of power in any one branch or individual, but you have a dispersal of
including
power.
50 state governments.
Including 50 states, right. State governments, which is unique in our nation in terms of it being a constitutional republic. The notion of a republic is not novel, but a constitutional republic is something that is different, which is why we've been able to enjoy, to date, the longest enduring republic under one form of government in the history of the world. But like Benjamin Franklin said, what have you brought, O Benjamin, a republic, if you can keep it.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're in day two of Share-a-thon. There's 3 days of Share-a-thon. This is day two. I'm Tim with Abe and Ed and Steve. Brent Creeley's running our control board. And we're going to take a short time out right here. We'll be back with more of this. 11:31 Central Time already. Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder my stomach's growling. Huh? I'm looking forward to lunch.
Amen.
Good thing about Share-a-thon here at our place is we're fed well.
We take care of our workers.
I saw them bringing in some catering during the break.
I think it's sandwiches today.
Huh?
I think it's sandwiches today.
Meatball?
No meatball.
I'm talking about meatball sandwiches.
I know what you're talking about, Tim.
Yeah, the Italian ethnic food jokes just write themselves, don't they, ladies and gentlemen?
In honor of Brother Don and Linda Wildman, it's Founders Day on AFR.
I guess my earliest memory of Brother Don was, I guess, my first day here back in, I think it was like 92 February. And I had just started doing some work, and he come through there and asked me what I was doing and what was going on. And I told him, okay, almost done with it, but I like it a little bit. He just said, well, you're fired. Turned around and walked off, didn't say another word. And I thought, oh, man, I really messed up somewhere. So I went to HR and told them what was going on, and they just died laughing and said, don't worry, Brother Don fires everybody. So I thought, okay. So I went back to work, and it's just, Brother Don is just, if he likes you, he likes you. And he's always seemed to care about his employees. He's always trying to talk to us. It's kind of hard to figure him out sometimes because his grin doesn't go very far. He grins more with his eyes. So you have to kind of watch his eyes when you're talking to him. But he's a good man. He's always trying to help people. He just loves people all together.
Brother Don has been standing in the gap for families, and Linda has been standing behind him since the inception of this ministry more than 40 years ago. We praise the Lord for our founders' obedient service, and we invite you to make a gift in their honor during Share-a-thon on AFR.
My name is Iris. I'm calling from Texas, and I love American Family Radio, and I recommend it to so many of my friends. Because you get news from a Christian perspective that you don't get any place else, as well as wonderful Bible teaching and information from programs like Focus on the Family and the Bible programs as well. I love Sandy Rios in the morning and Abraham Hamilton in the afternoon, Washington Watch, and Today's Issues. Great job. Continue. And may your tent be expanded for many, many years.
Hey, make a long story short, we had to drastically downsize our lifestyle, which also meant moving from the urban area that we loved down to his hometown of about 300 people. We couldn't even afford cable TV here, and I was feeling pretty sorry for myself and lonely. But when I realized I could listen to y'all through the AFR app, it completely changed my perspective and attitude. Today's issues through the Hamilton Corner, and then so many informative weekend shows like Dan Markell, Walker Wildman, Frank Turek. I've now began to look at this time not as a step backward, but as God blessing me with this amazing opportunity to grow as a follower of Christ.
God continues to provide for this ministry in the faithfulness of his saints during Share-a-thon. Call now at 877-616-2396 to give, or pledge online at afr.net. It's Founders Day on American Family Radio.
It's Founders Day here on American Family Radio. A founder of this ministry, American Family Radio, was my father, Don Wildman. I say was, he's still alive, but he's been retired a decade now. But he started the ministry in 1977. The first called the National Federation for Decency, which was later called the American Family Association, which parented, if you will, the American Family Radio Network, of which you're listening to right now. So we started in, AFR started in 1991. And the vision that my dad had was, and he was quite the visionary, he thought, you know what, there are just hundreds, if not thousands, but certainly hundreds of communities all over America who don't have Christian radio. And, you know, you go to any big city, you might find three or four Christian radios. You get outside of that. So he said, I want to be able to take Christian radio via satellite to towns and communities across America who don't have it. That was the vision. Obviously, to share the gospel message of salvation and discipleship and Bible teaching and those things, but also to tell people, the Christian community in particular, hey, what's happening in our country? And how we can be salt and light and make a difference in the culture to protect our freedoms and liberties and our way of life that we've talked about with Abe just a few minutes ago. So that's a big picture look at the vision that my dad had. And I remember he would, I'd go over there sometimes to his house at night and he'd be reading Broadcasting Magazine.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what in the world are you reading Broadcasting Magazine for? You're not a...
That was for the radio industry.
Yeah, radio and TV.
I had to read TV. College.
Yeah, okay.
Broadcasting.
It's a radio and TV industry trade publication.
Yeah. They get to the weeds, believe me.
My dad liked... He did like National Geographic and things like that. But he was reading Broadcasting Magazine. He said, well, I got this idea. And what? He said, using satellite technology to take Christian radio all over America. And so thus we filed with the FCC for a license and went on the air with WAFR 88.3 in Tupelo, Mississippi in 1991. That was day one, station one. The first voice that came over the air was J.J. Jasper.
And wasn't your dad's vision to maybe 300 or 500 radio stations? But
we would have that today, but the FCC changed the rules because of American Family Radio, which thwarted our growth efforts to a large extent, not altogether, to a large extent. I won't go into the details on that story, but that happened about, I don't know, 15 years or 20 years ago or so. But we have 181 radio stations today, but for in the 90s, in the late 80s, and excuse me, in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, up until probably 2002, 2003. Now I don't have evidence for this, but I'll just tell you that if we were the fastest growing radio network in America, period, Christian or non-Christian, for about a 3 or 4 year period there. of time. That's how fast we were expanding and growing in all over America. So, yeah.
Your dad was did that, and it was way more than just a radio executive. I would, when I was working for Focus on the Family, doing news for Focus on the Family, I would have occasion to call him to comment on relevant issues that I was, like I do now. Sometimes I talk to you occasionally too, but early 2000s, I would call and talk to Don Wildman. Now, remember, this is, I worked two doors down from Dr. Dobson. Regularly, all the people around me, we regularly interacted with Dr. Dobson. And when I told people that I had been on the phone with Don Wildman, they looked at me like I'd been on the phone with God. You got to talk to Don Wildman. Really? He is so respected in the pro-life community, in the conservative community, a groundbreaker.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad's still with us. He's 85 years old. He was born in 1938. Suffers from dementia, so he has good days, bad days. But what a visionary, and what a fellow that I'm proud to say he's my dad, and that God, that he listened to God's calling back in, well, first of all, to go into the ministry. He was a Methodist. Right. He was a Methodist pastor for several years before, but then he listened to the call of God to start something that eventually became what we are today.
Yep.
American Family Association, American Family Radio. I remember a couple of incidents that happened early on where he didn't have any money. Here he had left. He had left the church, so he wasn't the pastor, so he wasn't getting any kind of salary.
Right. And there, you don't become rich as a Methodist minister
anyway.
But at least it's regular.
Boy, you're on to something right there.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but at least it's regular.
Yeah.
And so he didn't have any money. I think he had a little bit of income because he wrote inspirational books, but not much. I mean, he had a family of four children, my mom and me and three siblings and I. So, I mean, that's a
burden.
Yeah. And that's when people look at you going, you're doing what?
Right.
Huh?
You're leaving the
ministry?
You've
got four children?
Yeah.
And you're leaving the pulpit to do what now exactly?
Right.
Huh?
Something to do.
Yeah. So that's when but I remember a couple times, one time in the mail, Dad used to tell this story. He got like a $2,000 check somebody sent to him in the mail unsolicited. He totally wasn't expecting it. In the mailbox when he owed like $2,000 to a printer.
It was exact.
The exact amount of money that he needed. Huh? I remember that. And then another time a guy called him out of the blue. He was a businessman. A lot of people would know the store chain if I gave it on the radio right now. This gentleman, this had been, back again, 77.
Yeah.
This fella owned a chain of stores that, you know, sold like a Dollar General or something like that. It wasn't Dollar General, but something akin to that. But the guy called him up and said, hey, I read about you in the newspaper. Stand with you and appreciate what you're doing. I'm sending you a check for $5,000 today. And it was like, this is confirmation.
Yeah.
This is confirmation that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I did hear from God.
Yeah.
And after that, the Lord began to provide financially, with small gifts primarily from people all over the country who saw this little Methodist preacher in Mississippi and said, hey, this guy's bold, and he's speaking out the same things I believe, and I want to support him and his work. And so things grew and blossomed, and God. So then you look back and you go, well, you remember why your dad left the pulpit to do what when people were going, are you nuts? You got four children. You're doing what exactly? Well, here we are today. The what exactly is 1977. That would be 46 years ago?
Yeah.
The what are you doing exactly was 46 years ago.
And just to toss on top of that, because I love that kind of story about your dad, but you don't just go out and say, I'm going to start a ministry in God's name and then watch it grow. This was God's call.
Right.
and God provided, and God, we pray. When we start our leadership meetings, Tim, I want our listeners to know, we start off with prayer. When we start on, we ask God for his wisdom that we might honor the Lord and stay faithful to the vision that he has called us to. And so, to me, the fact that this ministry exists and has expanded is proof that God called it into being, because you don't just decide on your own. You may decide on your own to start a business and make widgets, and some people are gifted that way in a business sense, but you don't start a ministry like this. The fact that we exist is proof of the fact that your dad answered the call and was faithful to the call. Now you and now your children as well are continuing that.
Interesting that it's not only it was confirmed to him that this was God's will, but he still had to work really hard for it.
Oh yeah,
even though he knew this is what God was going to provide for, there was no question. But man, doesn't mean that you can sit.
You
back
heard the expression "blood, sweat, and tears."
Yes,
I know the band there too.
Blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of prayer it went into, you know, getting this ministry off the ground. Obviously, it was God's hand, but, you know, down through history, you look through the Bible, and even after the Bible, you look at things that have happened in the Christian world, and you go, well, God birthed this and created it, but he needed a person to do it.
Yes.
Huh?
And pick the right person.
Yeah. And that's in the Bible, and then after the Bible. Picks a person out of, you know, in the Bible, there's a lot of stories about people who were no names.
Right.
And all of a sudden.
Like God, Moses. I'm not comparing that to Moses.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. But that's an example.
Right.
Of what I'm talking about here. But you have to have somebody who's willing to yield themselves completely, as my dad was, to God's call and know. You know, and my dad was a Methodist minister. He's very, very reasonable, logical, sort of methodical person. Yes, he had a lot of energy and was somewhat impulsive sometimes, but he didn't just throw out words like "God told me to do this."
Right.
Okay. He just didn't say that. He didn't get up every day and say, "God, you know, God told me to take a left turn," or you know, eat broccoli at lunch. Like, have we not all known some of our brothers and sisters who every day tell you what God told them to do, and you're going like, "Come on."
And your dad was. I mean, God. The way I look at it is, God fashioned your dad to be the man that he called to do it. Because most days, I've been here 27 years. You, Tim, much longer than that. Most days, your dad was the first one here and the last one gone. Sometimes I would have to come up on a weekend.
Turn the lights off.
Yeah, I would have to come up on a weekend. I forgot something here. He'd be back up here.
I know.
On weekends. I don't even think he likes taking vacations. So what I'm saying is,
aren't you glad I'm here now?
God didn't call me to do this because God knew I'd be sitting there going, "Nah, I'm not going to do that. I want to watch hockey."
Right.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? He had that he then called to do it, because your dad was gifted, and personality-wise, he was the kind of man who would put in the blood, sweat, and tears.
You know, the other biblical analogy is God calls some to plant, some to water, and some to harvest. Have I got
good,
that right?
Right.
So God called my dad to plant and to water, and he also saw the harvest, some of it.
Right.
And we the listeners right now, and us in this room, we're the benefactors of dad's obedience to the Lord.
Right.
Back then, because I'm not a visionary. I'll just tell you right now. Now, I can water.
Right.
And I can harvest.
And you can understand the vision and say, "This is, we're on this track, and this is where we're going."
Yes. But in the sense that.
Execute the vision. Right.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you can execute the vision.
Your dad has the vision. Yes. And I'm more of a guy who leans on the team, whereas dad, by necessity, had to be by himself oftentimes in a lot of the big decision-making and things that he did. But that's proof more that he was led by the Holy Spirit of God.
Because his instincts, I don't ever remember. I'm sure he was wrong about things before, but I don't ever remember a decision that he made where I afterwards went and said, "Wow, boy, did he miss that."
Yeah.
He was always, his instincts were always right on.
I will offer a little criticism of dad.
Okay.
Just a slight one.
Okay.
A slight one. I don't know if this would be considered a criticism by the outsider. But the times I did have a vision, and I would go into my dad and his office, and we were not next to each other, and I worked for him closely here as his vice president for many years, a couple of decades or more. And I'd go in and I'd say, Dad, I think I got a good idea. I think we should do ABC. What do you think? And he would often say, well, you know what? I was just thinking about that the other day.
Yes.
You know, sort of stole my thunder. You know what I'm saying? I guess some would say, well, that was confirmation that you had a good idea. But he would often say.
That happened often enough to you that we now joke about that.
Right.
When we text idea, like if Walker texts an idea and it really is his idea, it doesn't matter. I'll text back and say, I was just thinking about that a week ago. That's happened so much to you that we now joke about it with one another.
Yeah, I'd say, Dad, I got a good idea, man. I think we need to do ABC. And he'd say, well, Tim, that's a good idea. You know, I had that idea just the other day. Anyway, he didn't mean anything by it.
No. And he probably had the idea.
Yeah, probably did. Probably did. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Steve here. Brent Creeley's running our control board. And, folks, this is Share-a-thon, day two, Wednesday. We go 3 days. So tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. Central Time, we will wrap Share-a-thon up. So don't be part of the Procrastinators Club of America, okay? Don't join that club. Because you're late with your dues.
You can join that later. Oh. You can join that club later.
Yes, that's right.
Good, Steve. That's good. I like it. By that, I mean, don't wait till tomorrow night or this weekend and go, you know what? I never called in on Share-a-thon. I meant to, but I got busy. I got traveling. Kids did this, that, or the other. No, call right now and be as generous as you can and give a gift to American Family Radio. Tell folks, why don't you take a minute and tell folks how they can do that. And what we have as gifts to them should they give.
Okay, so the number to give for our Spring Share-a-thon, to call in and speak with our staff members and guests who are answering the phones, is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396 takes you right to Share-a-thon Central to talk to one of our phone volunteers. We also have premiums with certain criteria. So for a one-time gift of $150 or more, you will receive a DVD of The Battle in Loudoun County, the newest episode in AFA's Impact Series project. Or if you become a Great Commission partner with a monthly gift of $30 or more, you will receive the DVD, The Battle in Loudoun County, and you will also receive an AFR-branded duffel bag. It's actually a very lovely bag if you become a Great Commission partner with a monthly gift of $30 or more. The number to call is 877-616-2396. We ask you to be as generous as you can be, 877-616-2396, or you can give online at AFR.net.
All right. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio, our theme. Steve, what is our theme this Share-a-thon?
Our theme this Share-a-thon? I don't, but if I recall, it's
Living Waters.
Living Waters. I had that thought just a second ago.
What's the Bible verse we're using?
Well, it's from John 7:38. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. That's the version we're using for our Share-a-thon. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And, of course, he spake of the Holy Spirit inside the believer, reaching out to other people.
Doth thou really believe that?
Dost thou?
Dost thou really believe?
I doest.
Hearken unto me.
Yes.
I just always like to say that once a day.
You should hearken.
Can you hearken?
Once a day, at least.
Hearken?
Yes.
Unto me?
My wife tells me not to hearken because it's bad on my throat.
Oh, no, you didn't have to go there.
Bada boom. All right, Steve, is there something you wanted to say?
Couple stories,
is
maybe?
Is there something on your heart, Steve?
Well,
share.
See how much time. Do we have time for a real story and something?
Go.
I think so.
Go.
Okay. This just happened earlier today. There's a big, huge fire. An explosion happened at South Fork Dairy Farm in
a town in Texas in the panhandle called Dimmitt, D-I-M-M-I-T-T. And
we have a lot of listeners in the panhandle.
Do we?
Yeah,
well, they're probably seeing smoke. They are saying that at least one person is in critical condition, and I'm not joking about this, folks. Thousands of cows were believed to have died.
What happened exactly now?
There was an explosion at a dairy farm.
At a dairy farm, okay.
Yeah, at this point,
we don't know why.
When I came in here, we don't know what happened, but a huge amount of smoke and some injuries. That was what was kind of.
Is this the explosion where people in the surrounding area are being forced to evacuate?
No.
Or is that a different?
I have not heard about this. There was a different fire.
Well, for about a few weeks, we were having a train derailment every week.
Yeah.
Somewhere across the country in our plant explosion.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the, this is an Indiana recycling plant.
Oh, that happened yesterday, didn't
it? Yeah, it's forced more than 2,000 residents to evacuate the area.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
A lot of fires going on.
Yeah. Really.
All right, let me do this. You know that we now have the first non-binary sports drink?
Yeah. Oh, if I have to hear non-binary one more time.
It is. It's called gender fluid.
That's funny.
Comes in two flavors, pronoun punch and binary blast.
Just two? Just two flavors?
I don't know.
I think there should be an unlimited number of flavors.
Don't give that joke to JJ, please. Because if you do it, we're going to get it again Friday on trivia.
You might.
Well, he's actually not going to be here this week. He's traveling. Well,
he would make a special point to come in and tell us that
yes,
joke.
Yes, right. Here, I'm coming home.
Gender fluid, that's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, in a sick kind of way.
Yeah.
Comedian Chris DiStefano came up with that.
Gender fluid.
It sounds like a Babylon Bee thing.
It does, doesn't it?
Only two flavors. That's just going to set off that, gender fluid.
I'm triggered.
Drinking crowd.
Well, we are just about out of time for this 2 hours of Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. It's going to be a great afternoon because we've got Bishop Jackson. Is Fred going to be on with him?
I think Fred is going to be on. So it's the Jackson twins.
The Jackson twins, brothers in Christ. The Jackson twins. We'll be with you from 12 to 1, and then 1 to 2, is it Rick and Walker? And then the Addisons.
Rick Green.
Yeah, Rick Green and Walker Wilde and the Addisons. I mean, we got a great lineup for you, as we always do.
Right.
With some wonderful Christian brothers and sisters this afternoon right here on American Family Radio. If you want to make a gift and be as generous as you can, please do so and call our Share-a-thon number here. If you want to pledge, make a donation, the number is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. The internet, if you want to give on the internet, go to AFR.net, AFR.net, AFR.net.
So yesterday, my shift on the phone starts at noon. Yesterday, I went over there, and every seat was taken, so I wasn't able. Today, I'm looking, and it looks like I'll be able to be on the phones. I'll talk to you guys in about 3 minutes, folks.
So you're going to go over and answer the phones for us here.
That's what I'm going
to
be doing.
The golden voice will be over there.
That's what I'm going to be doing.
With his polka dot shirt.
Yes.
Yeah, polka dot shirt.
I've been saying they're being hungry. Everybody's saying to me that they're hungry for Wonder Bread today.
It does look like the Wonder Bread wrapper. You know, let me just say this. We do have just about 60 seconds or something. But I remember when Wonder Bread came out.
Yeah.
And I remember we begged. No, I remember the circular Wonder Bread. You remember that? It came in a circular loaf.
Really?
And when you cut it, it was round bread. Hmm. And we begged my mom to get the round Wonder Bread. I'm just telling you, we were suckers for every commercial that
came on. Well, this is round two.
But that's, so
as well.
Circular bread.
Yes. If you look it up, Wonder Bread, I'll look it up when we go off the air. Wonder Bread had a circular bread. It was a loaf, but it was instead of being square, it was round. It was oval.
Actually, I think that's in the book of Revelation as a sign of the end.
Well,
circular bread, you don't know about that?
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, we'll leave that there. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Ed, Fred, Jenna, Chris, Abe, and Brent. And we're going to take a short time out for news. And The Jackson Twins will be along.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio. For a one-time pledge of $150 or more, we'll send you a DVD of The Battle in Loudoun County, the newest episode in our AFA Impact Series. And for a monthly pledge of $30 or more, we'll send you that DVD plus an AFA-branded duffel bag. Both of these gifts are our way of saying thank you for your financial and prayer support during Share-a-thon. This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.